There was an interesting op-ed last week in USA Today, and it's from Yahoo News. Actually picked it up, but originally published, I guess it was, July 19th, by a Teresa Olihan. And her statement, she was actually defending the church, but she was talking about this new reaction towards the possibility of denying politicians communion because of their stand on abortion. It's kind of a powerful thing to look at, but there's something else that we can draw out of this that I don't think people are seeing. And it's simply this. I was last week, you may have known that my shows last week were based on the fact that I was on a retreat. Well, what happened was I got all the way to New York. I don't travel by plane. I travel by train. And I got all the way to New York and was going to switch trains, pulled out my wallet and discovered I didn't have my license and I didn't have my debit cards. And so I didn't have any of that. So what I did was I had no other choice. I just went to the Amtrak ticket office, got a train to head back, and that was the end of it. So I never did make it to the retreat, but since the programs were already done, I just left them on. So last week, Teresa Olihan, I guess is her name, she wrote an op-ed piece for USA Today, which I saw through Yahoo News. I don't subscribe to USA Today, but I saw through Yahoo News. And strangely enough, it was more or less defending the traditional Catholic position on receiving the Eucharist. Now, I say strangely enough, because for the most part, it's actually one of the reasons why I don't read a lot of newspapers, but I read a lot of other sources. I read news, but not from the newspapers, because they tend to be anti-Catholic and rejecting intensely any church position. So it was kind of interesting that in this op-ed, they actually published what the church position was. But there is something important to look at. And she is giving the traditional Catholic teaching. Actually, she writes here, according to church teachings, those who do not receive communion in a state of grace commit a mortal sin, which is eternally damning if not confessed in the sacrament of penance before death. That's true. However, what does it really mean? That is kind of like the mechanics. Let's kind of put it this way. That is kind of like the mechanics. So what does the church teach that leads us understand the why of the mechanics? And it's really simple. We can look at it. What actually leads someone to be eternally damned is a rejection of God's authority. And what the church teaches is a refusal to repent of sin, which is called obstinance. That is what actually is what is damning. Now, what does that mean? That means I don't care what God's will is. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to do my will. There you are. You will become like gods. There you go. You have decided to be God, your own God, in the world where you are not God. So that's what is eternally damning. Imagine if you are a citizen in a country. Why don't we pick any country? Well, a citizen in a country, we'll call it democracy stand. And the only thing they believe in is democracy. Everything they vote on, everything, and everything is democratic, right to what the menu is at the school lunch. Okay, everything is democratic. And you go to that country and you're a totalitarian. You want things a certain way and you don't believe in democracy. And there comes a point where they say, well, in order to stay in our country, you have to believe in democracy. And you go, no, not even to decide what the menu will be at the local school. No, can you stay in that society? It's not going to be good for either of you. You're a totalitarian. You can't feel comfortable in this total democracy. And those who believe in total democracy are going to have to put you someplace because your totalitarianism is going to undermine their well-being in the democracy. Kind of look at it that way. So that is the theory or the philosophy behind it, as opposed to the mechanics. So the mechanics say that if you have a mortal sin on your soul, you have to go to confession in order to not be eternally damned. Those are the mechanics. What it really means is if you refuse to repent of your sins, then you put yourself as God in God's kingdom. And there is only room for one God in God's kingdom, and that is not you. So you understand that's where this comes from. So when we look at the mechanics, we can understand it. You have to realize that the sacrament of reconciliation is a sacrament, also known as penance, is a sacrament of healing. It's calling people to be docile to the powerful grace of God. And being docile to grace makes them more human, more alive. But if they refuse to be docile to grace, then they have to be what they choose to be and not allow God to transform them. So all of that is part of this reality. And so when we understand those dynamics, now we understand why the church teaches what it does, because it is helping you to understand the deeper teaching by giving you the mechanics. We're going to talk more about this on the other side of the break. You're listening to the voice of St. Anthony Parish from Alston, Massachusetts, right here on WROL 950 AM 100.3 FM. And you can also hear us at CatholicAudioMedia.com. That's CatholicAudioMedia.com. Do you know that you can put together an adoration chapel of your own in your own house? With concerns surrounding the coronavirus and social distancing, many miss the opportunity to pray before the Blessed Sacrament. However, with a little ingenuity, it is quite easy, and you are not doing anything irreverent or illicit. Simply search Eucharistic Adoration Live on YouTube, and several live channels in different parts of the world will pop up. Now you can engage in Eucharistic Adoration in your own home if it is not available in your local parish church. Eucharistic Adoration Live on YouTube. And don't forget our website, CatholicAudioMedia.com. That's CatholicAudioMedia.com. You can check out our website. You can check out the archives of the show. You can give us feedback. You can send us prayer requests. You can look at our blog. You can look at our Substack newsletter. It's been a little quiet for the past couple weeks because I've been on retreat, but it's going to be moving up again. It's going to come back again. And a few other things. So CatholicAudioMedia.com. Now, there's another side to the story that no one is seeing, and it's this whole fight of who should receive communion and who shouldn't. Now, there are a lot of people that are choosing to leave the church, and they're getting in arguments with the bishops. The liberals are leaving the church. The conservatives are leaving the church. Many are upset over this motu proprio, and I heard of another church that happens to be local to me that is run by women who were ordained Catholic priests, which obviously made them excommunicated. And so they started their own church somewhere else. And I'm looking at that and I'm saying anyone who leaves the church because of the Pope's motu proprio, and anyone who leaves the church because they disagree with the church's teaching on ordination of women, are actually two sides of the same coin. And of course, the world is looking at that, you know, and they're going, wow, this is it. The church is going to collapse. Oh, no, it won't. But wait, you have to understand what I'm talking here. In order to understand this, we need to go to the book of Judges. We need to go to the story of Gideon. Now, we've talked about it before, but remember in that story of Gideon, Gideon has this whole army in front of him, and he's about to go into battle. And the Lord says, if you win that battle, you will become prideful. And when you become prideful, you tend to turn away from the Lord. He says, I don't want to see this happen. So what you're going to do is you're going to whittle away the men that you have until you come to a point where you have a smaller army. And with that smaller army, I'm going to defeat and win the battle for you. I'm going to defeat the Amalekites, I believe it is, and win the battle for you. So he puts them through a process where he, first of all, anyone who doesn't want to go in the battle can go home. Anyone who, and then he starts. All your men go to the river and drink water, and those who drink one way, they all go home. Those who drink another, they can stay. And this little process, until finally he ends up with 300 men. And God says, I am going to defeat that army using your men, and I'm going to do that in such a way that you will know that I brought you the victory and not you, and then you will not be prideful. So this is what happens, and he does this. He teaches them what to do through Gideon, and the battle begins, and it lasts probably about 20 minutes. And what happens is the opposing army, I believe it was the Amalekites, are in terror, and they run away, they retreat, because they learned a principle. There were 300 people, and they saw all 300 people. It was all at night. But they couldn't see more than the 300 people, but they assumed if they can see 300, there must be tens of thousands more. So at that point, they realized that they could not defeat such a large army, and they retreated. It was all a deception. Patton uses a different form of deception, but still deception, to help defeat the Germans. And he does it, by the way, with inflatable tanks. But it's the same principle, deception. Make people believe there is more there than is actually there, and more force there than is actually there. Well, we've got people who have chosen, for whatever reason, they're going to leave the church. They're going to walk away. They're going to say no more. And now, we've been dealing with this for the past 20 years. And then there are people in the world. There was a creative writing professor over at Harvard who really trashed the church recently. And of course, I'm surrounded by Harvard, so yet again. So obviously, I found that interesting. And so we have this this move to silence the church, to cast people out of the church, to make it so that the church will collapse. Not going to happen. But what will happen is the church, as it becomes smaller, becomes a stronger channel of God's grace. And that's by God's design. We'll talk more on the other side of the break. No, actually, we'll talk more tomorrow. Have a blessed day. You know, we have a website for our programs that will connect you to the parish, the blog, and to share your prayer requests with us. If you've been touched by our program, you can even show your support through your donation. We are at CatholicAudioMedia.com. That's all one word, CatholicAudioMedia.com. It is updated regularly with blog posts and podcasts of the program. So stay connected with us and tell us how this show has touched your heart. CatholicAudioMedia.com. In Cristo vivimos.